So how do you build a lifestyle business? How do you create a company that is actually the best thing that you could possibly imagine? Where every single day you go into work, whether it's from home, from your couch, from your business office, wherever it is, and you're excited every single day. I'm attorney Ali Awad, the CEO lawyer, and today I'm gonna share my 5 strategies for how to build a lifestyle business and how to keep and maintain some of the best employees, keep them happy, keep them involved, keep them motivated. Let's get started. So we're gonna go through this very quickly. I wrote down these 5 notes just so you can guys can follow along and have an outline. But there's 5 questions that I ask myself when I wanna build a lifestyle business. And the first question is, what's important to me? What do I care about? When I started my practice February 13th, 2017, there were a few things that I really cared about. Number one was travel, and then my family, and then my freedom. Not necessarily in that order, but I knew I wanted to have the freedom to be able to travel and see my family whenever I wanted to. So those things were all very important to me. So what did that mean? I needed to have technology and systems in place so that I could run my business from anywhere in the world. So I made it a point that every employee, every person in my firm would get a brand new MacBook and a brand new iPhone when they started. That helped me be able to move my business anywhere I wanted to. And the beautiful thing about it is when COVID hit, March of 2020, we already had the infrastructure in place to be able to scale astronomically and not have to worry about paying rent for an office that people weren't even going to be able to attend. And we already had the operations installed in the firm for people to be able to work from home. So it was kind of a perfect scenario for us. And it was because I cared more about my lifestyle and enjoyment of the process instead of just the ego that I would get from other people seeing my big fancy office. So that's the first question. What's important to me? What's important to you? Is it that you wanna be able to travel all the time? Then make sure you're in a virtual business. If you love traveling, don't be a doctor. Seriously, you're gonna have to show up to the office at some point all the time, unless you're out and doing charity work or you're on these missions, that's totally different. But if you love sales and you love being in a fancy suit in an office, then probably don't become a plumber. So figure out the things that actually matter to you and then create the business and create the career that you think are going to be the important things that are going to stay with you for the rest of your life. For me, I think travel, freedom, family, those things are not going to go away anytime soon for me. So I want to make sure they're always at the forefront before I get started in any sort of business venture. The second thing is, how do you maintain a work-life balance? Let me tell you something. There is no such thing as a work-life balance. If you want to be an entrepreneur, you want to start a business, you want to build a successful company, there's no such thing as a work-life balance. The way that it works is you work your ass off for 2 or 3 years, you build something insane, you tell all of your family and friends that, hey, I'm not going to be able to show up to those events, I'm probably going to miss a couple of weddings, I'm not going to be at your birthday party, don't invite me to that concert, leave me alone for 2 to 3 years, let me hustle, and don't you dare ask me for money because I'm not even paying myself, I'm reinvesting everything back into my company. And then once you have a little bit of infrastructure, you have that critical mass, then the life can start. That's probably not what you expect for work-life balance, but work-life balance is not daily, it's on a lifetime. So if you think about it from the perspective of, let's say you want to work for 40 years in this specific career, and you wanna work from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, and you wanna have your 1 week of paid time off once every year, and that's all you wanna do. Well, the work-life balance there is that you get the 40 hours of work time and then the balance is the remaining 128 hours of the week. But that's not what entrepreneurs go through. Entrepreneurs have to be willing to work 80, 90, 100 hours a week for themselves so that they don't have to work 40 hours a week for someone else. And so if you are interested in a work-life balance, don't become an entrepreneur. Don't start a business. If you cannot afford to not pay attention to your family for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, if you don't want to get rid of your friends for a little bit, if you don't want to get rid of that leisure and that comfort lifestyle that you already have, I guarantee you you're not going to like entrepreneurship. And it's a big part of the reason why I waited to get married. I knew that I didn't have time to get to know someone, get married, start a family, if I'm building my business. And some people do it when they're married and when they have kids, and it's a lot harder. And I get it. But I was lucky enough to where I started my business before I got married, and I was able to push everything else to the side and just focus for those couple of years to build my business. So work-life balance doesn't exist. If you want to be an entrepreneur, you work for a very long time, at least a couple of years, straight, focused attention, undivided work, and then you start looking at your lifestyle afterwards. And by the way, I know that conflicts a little bit with what's important to you and travel and freedom and family. Just so you know, the travel, freedom, and family can happen simultaneously with working all the time. So if I'm taking a vacation to the Bahamas, I got my laptop and I got my phone with me. Yeah, I mean, if we're out fishing with some friends, deep sea fishing in the Caribbean, then I know for that 30 minutes or 1 hour or whatever, I'm gonna be able to focus, have some fun with my friends, but then as soon as I get back, I'm checking my emails, I'm checking my work. It's not that I won't take any vacations or won't talk to my family or won't talk to my friends, but my priority is that whatever I am doing, I still have access to my business and my work. In fact, even when I got married, I told my wife, like, hey, on our honeymoon, I'm gonna be taking calls. I'm gonna be signing up clients. My business is still in its early stages. I hope you're okay with that. She's like, yeah, as long as we can at least take, you know, the first few days off. I said, okay, let's arrange our wedding and our honeymoon to start on a weekend because there's a little bit less traffic at that time, a little bit less work. But we were on the same page. And even though it was a 3-week honeymoon, 2.5 of those weeks were still work. That's just how it is. That's what a work-life balance is. So the third question you need to ask yourself if you want to build a lifestyle business is, how do you replace yourself? You don't want to be working every single day for the rest of your life, especially if you're hustling nonstop for a few years when you really didn't have to. The problem that a lot of entrepreneurs make is that they think no one can replace them and that the work that they do is so exceptional, it's so special that no one can possibly do what they do. But here's a rule of thumb. It takes 5 people to replace you as the business owner, as the CEO. 5 people. And usually every 3 average employees are not as good as 1 exceptional employee. So if you're an exceptional CEO and an exceptional leader, you need 5 awesome rock star players to be able to replace the work that you do. And even those 5 people probably will function at 80% of the capacity that you can function at. But if you don't attract rock stars, you're probably gonna need 15 people to do the work that you do, and it's still not gonna be anywhere near the 80% mark of what you're capable of accomplishing. So that's the mistake that people make. They try to hire cheap employees to handle all of their work, but they'll never do the real critical thinking and the serious work, the serious commitment for your business or for your clients, your customers. Now, how do you get to a point where you can afford 5 people? Well, that's because the first thing you need to focus on is profitability for your business. If you are not profitable and you're not able to afford 5 people to work for you full time, you don't have a business. If you're making, let's say you're working and you're making 50 grand a year and then you start a business and you're making 60 grand a year, that's not a business. Even if you're making 100 grand a year, it's not a business because you will be working for the rest of your life and you don't get all the benefits of paid time off and vacations and health insurance and all these other things. You have to make at least 5 times more than what your salary could have been because you need to replace yourself with other people to run that business for you. Otherwise, you'll be stuck in this perpetual cycle of working. And the moment you stop working, you stop making money. That's why it's so appealing to work for a company that offers you all of these benefits. But it's the job of the CEO and the leader to be able to create a company and be as profitable as possible to give those opportunities to the employees. So your job as a CEO is to become profitable. And if your employees are going to cost 40, 50 grand a year, you need to get to a point where you're making at least $400,000 a year so that you can afford to pay for these 5 people and make sure that they're probably not going to make money the first few months. And over time, pay them, train them, and build with them over the years. So understand that you're responsible for high profitability first and that there's a 5-to-1 ratio to be able to replace yourself. If you're not making 5 times the salary of an exceptional employee on your own, you're gonna have a very tough time growing your business. So think about this. Whatever industry you're in, you're a car mechanic, you're an electrician, you're a graphic designer, you're a web developer, whatever it is, If at some point you want to be able to replace yourself in that business, understand that if you bring someone in to do everything that you're doing, you have to be able to pay them so much that it doesn't make sense for them to take on the risk of running the business on their own. Think about that. I worked in the car audio business for a very long time. I knew that if you wanted to bring in someone to manage the entire store, you can't pay them 12 bucks an hour. It's just not gonna work, because if they're managing everything in the business, they might as well just start the business on their own and become your competition. So the only way you can avoid that is by being able to pay them so much that the risk of going into business on their own doesn't make sense. That risk to reward ratio. How do you offer that risk to reward ratio? You become a better business person. You make more money to be able to offer your employees more opportunities. The money that your business makes is specifically designed to give to your employees so they can give you your time back. The problem entrepreneurs make is that they make money and spend it all, instead of making money, investing it in other people, and having those people give them back that money and that time. It's one step removed. It's delayed gratification. It's becoming an experienced business person. So if you're trying to figure out how to replace yourself, make sure you have enough money to be able to replace yourself, or at least a pipeline that's going to allow you to replace yourself over the years. Question number four, once you bring in those people, how do you keep your employees motivated? We do a couple of things in our business. We have these company outings and these events. We have unlimited paid time off. We have great benefits. We pay very strong salaries. But there's one thing that trumps all of that, and it's that I genuinely care. I actually care about my people. I get so excited when I think about, after I come back from vacation, seriously, the thing that I cared most about was coming back and being able to talk to my team members. That's what I was like most excited about. I wanted to get back into work. I wanted to get back into the groove of things. I love being around my people. I love developing with them and growing with them and watching their families grow and being able to support them in their journey and in their growth as well. I love that. That's what makes me happy. And entrepreneurs and business owners are making the mistake that these employees are working for them, when in reality, you're working for them. Because if you work for your employees, they will go to work for you. But if you think that your employees are just working for you, you're never going to let that guard down and that ego down to actually care for them. So company events are great. Building a culture, you know, having ping pong tables and having foosball games and, you know, going to soccer outings and, you know, picnics and whatever, all that stuff is so fun. It's great. But if you don't genuinely care, you don't know your employees' names, you don't know their families, you don't know if they're married, you don't know if they have any kids, you don't know what's going on in their lives, you don't care. And it's as cheesy as it sounds, people don't care how much you know unless they know how much you care. So that process of figuring out what's important to you, how do you maintain that work-life balance, how do you replace yourself in your company, how do you bring people in, keep them motivated, it really boils down to building a system that's very profitable, understanding that you need to struggle a lot in the first few years to become so profitable that you can afford to pay people very well. And when you bring in those people, make sure you care about them and nurture them so that they take care of your business. That's how the process works, and you can't skip any of those steps. The final thing that business owners should be paying attention to is, how do you maintain growth with your people, with your business, with your clientele base? And there's something you need to keep in mind. Growth is not always profit and revenue. Growth is sometimes different KPIs, like happiness, like overall retention from your employees, like customer satisfaction. Sometimes growth is just adding more buildings, adding more employees, adding more support, adding better infrastructure. You don't always have to focus on that bottom line, that revenue number. You have to focus on what makes you happy. And if you're growing in the departments that matter, I'll give you an example. I used to be so obsessed with how many cases I would sign up every single month. I heard that one law firm signed up 600 cases a month, and I was like, okay, I need to make 6,000 cases a month. That's what I need to do. And I realized that over the years, in talking to some of the best law firm owners in the country, I realized that I was already signing up as many cases as some of the most profitable lawyers in the country, but I wasn't focusing so much on building up my cases and maximizing the profitability. I was just focused on how many cases was I signing up. And when you sign up a lot of cases, you need a lot of people. When you have a lot of cases and a lot of people, it costs a lot of money. So instead, we decided, well, how about we stop accepting all the low-value cases and we refer those out to other lawyers. We only take on clients that we know we can help and bring a ton of value to them. And we partner up on some of the bigger cases so that we keep our costs down, but still get that great return on our investment and that fee share with the attorneys. So by restructuring my business model, I was able to actually take in less cases, but make more money. And so I wasn't focused, and the biggest benefit was that my employees were happier. They were a lot less stressed. So those were the things that really pushed the envelope and moved that needle. I didn't pay attention so much to revenue and more cases and more clients. I paid attention to a healthier business, happier employees, and a company that I feel like I actually enjoy working in. There was a period where I wasn't even meeting the people that were getting interviewed and being hired with my company. People would work with me for like 6 months and I'd never even meet them. And I just didn't enjoy that. I would rather have 20, 30, 40, 50 exceptional people that I know on a first name basis and I grow with them and support them and pay them a ton of money than to have 1,000 employees, I have no idea what's going on with my business and not deliver an exceptional product. So that's how I built a lifestyle business. I asked myself these 5 questions. What's important to me? How do I maintain a work-life balance? How do I replace myself? Once I replace myself, how do I keep those people motivated and excited to come to work? And finally, how do I maintain growth in my company? Remember that in a slingshot, when you have an object that wants to go far, you have to pull it back. The same thing applies in your business. You have to sometimes take a step back before you can blast off and really grow your business. You're going to hit a different barrier at 1 million a year, at 10 million a year, at 25 million a year, at 50 million a year. There's different barriers, different devils at different levels. So every time your business doubles in size and it grows, you have to reassess. You have to look at what really matters to you. But if you design your business properly from day one, and you think about the lifestyle and the direction that you want to go, and you make that your thermostat, you decide, okay, as long as I maintain the happiness and I know that this is what's going to build a lifestyle business for me in the future, no amount of money is going to replace that. If you're happy, you're going to do it and you're not going to feel like you're working. And at some point, you wake up and you realize you're making a lot of money, all of your employees and your team members are making a lot of money, and you've built a lifestyle business for yourself and for your team. I'm attorney Ali Awad, the CEO lawyer. That's how you build a lifestyle business. Tune in for our next show where we're going to go even deeper on business strategies. And we might even talk about the recession a little bit because I think there's going to be some deals coming down the pipeline. Take care and I'll see you on the next one.